Hannah.
Hi, Hannah. How are you?
No, I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm good. I'm good. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. I hope everybody's well.
Yes, thank you.
We're going to start section 51 tonight.
Okay.
It's titled He Who Goes on a Journey. And it is verse 222. Lashem Yehud Kud Shabrihu Ishkinte Bibhilu Urhimu Uthilu Uthilu Urhimu. Leakta Hashem Yudhe Bavate Biyehuda Shalim Beshem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La Sok Torah Mitzvah. Vayehino Amadunai Elohino Alena Maaseya Denu Kanane Alena Maaseya Denu Kananehu. Rabbi Shimon Hawa. Azel Israel, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chiyayo, Ad Hakechamu Leya, Rabbi Pinchas, Dachawa, Ate Kewandit Habaru, Kachada. Nachatu, v'yatvu techot ilana, had me'ilane, tura, amar rabbi pinchas, ha'yetev t'na, me'ilein me'ilein, ma'al yata, de'at amer b'kol yoma, Rabbi Shimon was going to Tiberia, which is Tiberias, accompanied by Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Chia. On the way, they saw Rabbi Pinchas coming toward them. When they met, they dismounted from their donkeys and sat under one of the trees on the mountain. Rabbi Pinchas said, "Now that we are seated, meaning now that we are prepared to learn Torah, I would like to hear of the good teachings you expound every day." Any questions or comments or thoughts?
Okay, so there were four sages and one more joined them, which makes five.
No, there were five sages and one more joined them, which makes six.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I have a question. And who did they ask to hear the teachings of?
Rabbi Shimon.
Okay, thank you.
No, you were right, Hannah. There's one, two, three. With Rabbi Shimon is four, and then with Rabbi Pinchas, there's a total of five.
Okay.
Five rabbis.
They just made me one. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There's five rabbis all going to Tiferius.
You think each one represents one of the worlds? I mean, that was what came to me as you read it.
Yes, I do.
Each represent what?
One of the worlds. There are five worlds.
Where are those five worlds?
And also, during the study,
go ahead, Hannah.
I said, in a service, we always sit when we get to the haftah, and they're seated, so they're ready. They are ready for teaching.
Right, they're ready to study Torah. That's what it's saying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the real question to ask is, why do you need to know this?
Learn from their experience.
Why can't you just say that a few sages were going to Tiberias and they met another one? Why do you need to know their names? Why do you need to know they're going to Tiberias? These are all...
I was thinking of yesterday when I was trying to remember if Tiberias is the area where the Sea of Galilee was, you know, so trying to remember the location of Miriam's well. But then looking at the names, Shimon means, I think, listening, and Yossi would be the pet name for Joseph or Yosef, which would be God will add, God will bless, and Yehuda is praise, and I guess Kia would be life. I'm not sure about that one. Pinchas, I've kind of forgotten. I think Pinchas had to do with black.
Pinchas received the covenant of peace.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you need to know the names. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Now, donkeys, I was trying to see which word in the Aramaic they used. Because it seemed like I remember there being two words for donkey in Hebrew, but I'm not sure. When I'm not teaching, it's just not right there anymore. So
you're saying two words in Hebrew for what?
For donkey.
For donkey? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is chamor one of
those for donkey? Chamor is the one that means the physical world.
Okay.
But the word donkey is coming from Rabbi Ashlag's commentary because it's in the larger room.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's not there in the Aramaic. It's just in the Aramaic, it says when they met, they dismounted and sat under one of the trees on the mountain. It doesn't say anything about the donkeys. So you could ask the question, why does Rabbi Ashlag want us to know that it was they got off donkeys?
Mm-hmm. And Tiberias is in the northern part of Israel, so the north is important too. Every word is important to me.
Exactly. And that's really the reason I was asking the questions. Because normally, if you just read it as the story, of course it makes sense. These guys tell us their names, but everything has a meaning. Everything is related to the book.
Hano, how about trees on the mountain? They sat under one of the trees. What would trees on a mountain represent, or them sitting under one of the trees on the mountain?
The trees is a code word for the tree of life. And on the mountain represents the patriarchs. Mountain is a code word for the patriarchs. Now, this is a singular mountain, so you're not sure, but you would assume it's Abraham representing Chesed. But we won't really know that till we read the rest, the next few verses to see what the subject is being taught.
Well, if you are very smart, my grandfather would say, Hamor b'surat edel.
Verse 223. Betach Rabbi Shimon ve'amar vayelech lemasav minegev V'ad Beit El Ad Hamakom Asher Haya Sham Ahalo Bat Chila Bein Beit El Uvein Ha'ayai V'yelech L'masa'av L'masa'u Mi'baye Le'ya Mai L'masa'av Ela Birein Matzlanin Inun Hadile Dideya Behadishkinta Deha Kol Barnash Bae Leishtachta Devar Benukva Begin Liat Kafa Mehem Nuta Ukdein Shekinta Lait Parsha Mineya Lealmin. Rabbi Shimon then opened the discourse by saying, and he went on his journeys from the Negev. It says journeys in the plural, where it should have said journey in the singular. Why did the scripture say journeys in the plural? Because there were two journeys, one of his own, and the second that of the Shekhinah. The dual journey indicates that everyone should be male and female, so that his faith may be strong and the Shekhinah may never depart from him. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I'm wondering who is the he in the first sentence, and he went on his journeys from the Negev. Do we know who he's talking about, Rabbi Shimon?
We don't actually know specifically who he's talking to about, but they gave you the verse number. And Bereshit chapter 13 sounds like that's early enough. It's probably Abraham. Because
mm-hmm.
Because Isaac doesn't come in until chapter 20-ish.
Okay.
But it might also be, it could also be Eliezer, but I think that's a little too early for Eliezer, too.
Mm-hmm. And the Negev is south. So they're in the north talking about the journey to the south. It struck me that because they're all male, but if they don't actually have a wife or with them, but I would think that the Shekinah would, being present, would make the journey be male and female, even though they're all male.
That's correct. Whenever there is Torah being discussed with two people, the Shekhinah joins them. That's one of the, we learned that in earlier in the Bereshit when it was talking about the Shekhinah.
What about when we say the prayer for the road? In fact, I was going to copy it today, the Traveler's Prayer. Tefillah HaDerech. Does that bring the Shekinah in our presence as well? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The answer is anytime you say a blessing, you're connecting to the Shekinah. So the reason you say the Traveler's Prayer is for protection, meaning bring the Shekhinah along with you.
Mm-hmm.
Jeanette, you were asking a question.
Okay, what about a female who's traveling?
Hold on.
Okay.
Two people, male and female.
No, when two people travel, whatever sex, mm-hmm. if they're talking the words of Torah, the Shekhinah joins them. If one person, whatever sex, says a blessing, they are connected to the Shekhinah. And as long as their consciousness remains elevated, thinking about other people, connecting to them in the upper worlds, the Shekhinah is still connected to them. But there's a difference between connection and travel. What were you going to ask, Paula?
Well, you just said it, so you answered what I was going to. Wondered if a female traveling by herself, and you basically just answered it.
Okay.
Verse 24.
There is some background noise, so if you could mute your phone. Thank you.
Yisader Silota Kame Kujabarichu Begin Liam Shaka Aleya Shekinta Imareya Adlai Poksli Archa Zim Nadishtaka Devar Venukvab Kevan Desader Siloteya Vashivheya Ushkinta Sharyayo Aleya Ipok Beha Shekinta Is Davgat Bahadeya Begindi Ishtakach Bekar Venukva Bekar Venukva Bemata Devakar Venukva Bechachla Ahidiktiv Tzedek Lefanav Yechalech V'yasem La'derech B'yamav. And you may ask, if the sojourner is not both male and female, will the Shekhinah then leave him? Come and see. He who goes on a journey should pray to the Holy One, blessed be he, before he leaves, so as to draw upon himself his master's Shekhinah, when still at home and still both male and female. And when he prayed and praised, and the Shekhinah rests upon him, then he can go on his way. Now that the Shekhinah is with him, he can be male and female in the city. That is, at home and in the field on his journey. Because the Shekhinah is joined to him, it is written, righteousness shall go before him, with righteousness representing the Shekhinah, and then he shall place his footsteps on the way. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Is this the story where somebody asked the donkeys to curse Israel?
No, that's not. That's the story of Bilam.
He can't curse for practice.
It's a different story. Different spiritual laws being revealed. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
How can a sojourner, male and female?
How can what? How can the traveler be male and female?
Mm-hmm.
When he's at home,
by being at home, there's the female aspect of the house, which hopefully is his wife, but that's the idea of the male and female. When he draws by praying the traveler's prayer, he draws the female Shekhinah from God, who now rests on him. So when he walks out of his house, the Shekhinah is the female relative to him.
Also, when we touch the mezuzah before we leave our homes, too, would be included in that. I'm not so sure that existed in those days, but for us today.
Well, the mezuzah always existed.
Yeah.
And the mezuzah represents a different level. Because your practice may be to touch the mezuzah, that's not what is expected. What's expected is that you see the shin on the outside of the mezuzah. So you're dealing with the level of wisdom, the level of sight.
Well, I always say, bless my coming and my going from this time forth and forevermore when I touch mine and leave my house.
I understand, but that's not the part of the mitzvah. It's part of the tradition. It's part of the minhag. There's a lot of different minhags surrounding the mezuzah because people don't really understand what the mezuzah accomplishes for them.
I remind you of the name of God, inside and outside your
house. That is one explanation. There are many others. Most people don't even know that one. But the essence of why you put up a mezuzah is that there is the verse in Proverbs that says, or maybe it's Psalms, sin crouches at the door, that King David wrote. Sin represents the negative system. It represents a demon. Crouches at the door, meaning every opening. Your door is an opening. So there is a demon waiting for you as you enter your house and as you leave your house. It's waiting for its share of the light that you are receiving to do the action that you're planning to do. So it has to do, and it's on a level of wisdom, so it's on a level of sight. So touching it does not add to what goes on, although many people do touch it as part of their minhag.
But when you touch it, you look at it and you see your shins. I mean, it's both things at once.
Now, the best thing I've seen about the mezuzah, my cousin in Israel had this little old man who came in, changed all the mezuzahs on every door.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what for? It's the same thing. She said, shh, it gives them an income. Just leave it alone.
It's very nice. But a mezuzah should be checked twice in 7 years.
According to how he comes in every year and he changes all.
And that's it's a good deed, absolutely. What did you start to say, Hannah?
I like the idea that the way it was quoted by Rabbi Ashlag, that righteousness represents the Shekinah. I don't think I'd ever thought of that in that way.
Well, we've heard that and seen that in the Zohar before, so, because the righteous is the Zeranpin, but righteousness is Malchut. We have time for one more verse, so 225.
Okay.
Tachaseh pozimna divarna shitakav Peor ha ba ele natra oba doi begin de zuga ila alo yit perdash mine ya ve ishtekach pagim bilad khar benu kva bemata itsterich kad nukveya imeya Bashaka Bezibuga Ila'a Itkashrat Beya Willao de la deha Zibuga Ila'a Naterlea Biarcha Vila mit Parsha Minea Adito Levetea. Come and see. As long as a man is traveling, he should beware of sinning, so that the supernal mate, the Shekhinah, will not desert him, causing him to become defective, that is not composed of male and female. Just as he guards his actions in the city, when his wife is with him, he should do so all the more on the road, when the supernal mate, the Shekhinah, is attached to him. Furthermore, because the supernal mate, the Shekhinah, protects him on the road and does not depart from him until he returns to his home, he should therefore watch his actions at home also, so that the Shekhinah does not desert him. Questions? Comments?
Why should the guy traveling have any other restrictions than the guy not traveling?
You're in more danger when you are traveling than when you are at home. So you're in a frame of judgment when you're traveling more so than if you're at home. So if you sin, that judgment is going to be rendered at that moment, or, you know, more readily at that moment. Any other thoughts or questions?
In other words, let's hope he's not traveling so he can sin. That he's...
Yes. Which is why that in most Western world, if you... are taking a woman across the state line for prostitution, that's more of a sin. Why? Because you're traveling to sin. The spiritual law is what's applying and why that law gets passed. It should be the same to take a woman across the street for prostitution, God forbid. But it's the same idea. It's more dangerous to go across the state line. You know, on the physical level, you're bringing in a federal law as opposed to a state law. But both laws should be present. It should be wrong to do both. Any other questions or comments? Thoughts?
I think it's awesome to know that the woman or the wife, you know, is a picture of the Shekhinah, and really both protect the man in the home and on his way, wherever he is. And I just kind of think that's awesome. And I think we knew it, but when you read it, and it, you know, it's like a dagger in your heart.
It drives home the idea that a person is not whole without their partner. And we've learned that intellectually in many other places. But I think this series of verses is driving that point home very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
That a person is not whole without their spouse.
But in the case of death, I would think that these verses would also have special meaning to a person who's a widow or a widower. Then, you know, you still need the Shekinah when you go out. And
yep.
So I would think then you bring that consciousness with you. So, and I mean, I would think that the spouse is still alive, so just in a different dimension. So I would think it's
correct.
Something to contemplate anyway.
It is. Well said. Everyone have a beautiful evening. And at 7 o'clock West Coast time, we'll have our question and answer series.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank
Shalom.
You.
Shalom.